Wizard of Mouth Wednesday. We are here for another Wednesday. It is May 26th, 2010, and we got a big show tonight because major things are going on in the city as the budget for security for the G20 G8 summit has almost $1 billion has been announced for a three-day summit. The world leaders are coming to town in June. Central bankers are coming to town, and the community will be out. Toronto Community Mobilization Network held a press conference last week, and we'll play some clips from the speeches and some of the question answering, plus some interviews with Toronto Community Mobilization Network speakers Anna Willits and Khalid Momar of the Canadian Arab Federation. Plus, Robin Yeto has sent in a clip of the charges dropped against the former Attorney General of Ontario and MPP, Michael Bryant. So is there justice in Ontario on that case? We'll have more on that report. Plus, we've got some clips from the Free Mark Emery worldwide protest rally that took place on Saturday outside the U.S. consulate right here in Toronto. We'll have the interview with Christopher Goodwin of the Toronto Hash Mob, all that and more. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name's Daniel Libby, and we'll be back. Word up, word of mouth.
This is Kevin Annett with the Friends and Relatives of the Disappeared, and I want you to listen to Word of Mouth Wednesday. And please listen to our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
All right, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here, and we got a lot of stuff headed up on the show. And I think maybe first off, we'll play the late-breaking news of MPP, former MPP, and former Attorney General, and lawyer, and liberal, Michael Bryant, who was actually charged in the summer for the death of a cyclist, Darcy Allen Shepherd. And we're wondering, you know, is there justice in Ontario? Well, the incident that took place on August 31st, 2009, was the incident that took Mr. Shepherd's life. And what you're going to hear in this clip sent in by Robin Yeto is some clips of the eyewitnesses. And then I think you'll also hear a bit of Michael Bryant himself, his reaction to what happened yesterday at the courts. So without further ado, here is that segment sent in by Robin Yeto. And maybe afterwards we might even open up the phone lines. So in case this brings anything to mind, well, justice in Ontario, here is the report on Michael Bryant.
On August 31st, 2009, Darcy Allen Shepherd, father of three children, was killed. He died after a traffic altercation with Michael Bryant, the former Attorney General for the Government of Ontario. According to eyewitnesses, Mr. Shepherd was dragged along Bloor Street between Avenue Road and Bay by a speeding black 1995 Saab convertible driven by Mr. Bryant. The incident was caught on tape by a security camera.
I was standing by the truck and I heard these squealing tires, and I saw a black convertible racing the wrong way on past our construction site. And as I looked, this car was going about 90, and I didn't know there was a guy hanging on the passenger side. But after the guy went onto the sidewalk, the guy hanging onto the car hit the mailbox, hit the road. The guy in the car ran over him with the back tires. The guy bounced, and the car sped off. And the person that he ran over was there, just bleeding.
So what exactly happened? He was holding onto the side of the car. Did it look like it was a deliberate act by the driver of the car?
Oh yeah, he meant to knock him off because apparently they had a confrontation up at the lights. But I couldn't see the guy because hanging on until he bounced off the mailbox, and the guy was going like 90 the wrong way.
So what's going through your mind?
Well, I felt sick to my stomach when I saw the guy bleeding from his head, his mouth, and I just yelled to the guys to call 911.
So Ryan, tell me what you saw.
All I saw was the car speeding up the wrong side of the road with the injured man on the driver's side of the car holding on as tight as he could, and then the driver of the car pushing up against the curb trying to knock him off on the poles as he went down the opposite side of the road.
Then what happened?
Then he hit the mailbox, fell off of the car. I didn't see after that. All I saw was him trying shoot up the street there. Manny saw just the rest of it. But all I saw was him trying to knock him off. And then I saw him fall off, and after that I couldn't see him because he came out of my view because I was still in the back of the truck.
What was going through your mind?
I was scared, to be honest with you, for the guy. Because that was it was a pretty nasty fall, for sure.
Do that?
He was yelling pretty loud, and he sounded very, very angry, kind of road rage. But honestly, someone that's really... I don't think all there.
The car was yelling?
Yeah.
What was he yelling at? The cyclist?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
All I heard was some loud yelling and then screeching tires. That's when we turned around and the car took off down the wrong side of the road trying to go and hit him off the poles for about probably 100 meters. He was holding on from Bay Street onto the car, up the side of the street on the curb.
Do you think that he was holding on for dear life or he was holding on trying to keep with the guy?
He was definitely holding on for dear life as soon as the guy accelerated. At first, I think he was trying to get him because he hit his bike. That was the whole thing. The guy hit him with the car on his bike, tire bent over, and then he finally just said, okay, and grabbed onto the car, and the guy sped off as fast as he could.
Do you think he deliberately pulled up to hit him off of the mailbox?
Oh, definitely. Definitely deliberately, because he went for 100 meters right down the curb and up onto the sidewalk.
Mr. Shepherd died of his injuries. Yesterday, however, Special Prosecutor Richard Peck dropped all charges against Michael Bryant, citing a lack of evidence that would not lead to a conviction. Mr. Peck said that if the prosecution determines there is no reasonable prospect of conviction, then the charge must be withdrawn. Mr. Peck said the case fell short of that standard. Mr. Bryant will not be facing trial for the death of Mr. Shepherd. Mr. Bryant held a press conference immediately after Mr. Peck's decision.
There, but for the grace of God, go I. These were the words that I heard again and again from people. And grace is what they brought me and my family, reminding us all of the humanity, the faith that humanity deserves. Thank you to those people, many of whom I had never met before, who took the time to send letters and emails and Facebook messages, to those who took the time to stop me on the street or the subway to bolster my spirits. Thanks also for the wordless expressions of compassion, the countless pats on the back, and the knowing look on an elevator. You find out who your friends are when tragedy strikes, and it was a good find for me. I'm blessed with the best friends and parents and siblings and in-laws imaginable. They came from grace like a stretcher to gather us up, my family and I. It seems so insufficient to say to all these people but two words, thank you, but it's all I've got. Thank you. My wife, Susan Abramovich, was not only married to a suddenly unemployed and criminally indicted husband, she was also the passenger in that car the night of our 12th wedding anniversary. She lived those horrible 28 seconds. Then she had to jump to the rescue in the hours that followed, go back to work the very next day, and put up with a broken Bryant for a long while thereafter. How do you thank your wife for all that? Well, you do. Thank you. As for the justice system, I now have a unique perspective from its highest pedestal as Attorney General to its pillory, a defendant cuffed in the back of a squad car, accused of two very serious offenses involving the tragic death of a man. In Canada, when a politician who appointed judges and prosecutors becomes a suspect for a potential homicide, the justice system bends over backwards to avoid the appearance of impropriety. That's what happened here. Our system can bend in no other direction. It cannot, and it did not. Nobody is above the law, to be sure, but no one's below the law either. So the police and prosecution did their job as independently and meticulously as possible. What I will never forget for the rest of my life is the unnecessary tragedy of that night. A young man is dead, and for his family and friends, that remains the searing memory. To them, I express my sympathies and sincere condolences. I have grieved that loss, and I always will. This has turned out to be a tale about addiction, mental health, an independent justice system, a tragic death, and a couple out on their wedding anniversary driving home with the top down. It is not a morality play about bikes versus cars, couriers versus drivers, or one about class, privilege, or politics. It's just about how in 28 seconds, everything can change. And thereafter, time marches on. And so will I.
Word of mouth Wednesday. As time marches on, we are moving along here on the show. But that was a serious segment there. You just heard some clips there, eyewitness accounts of the situation, and you heard from Michael Bryant himself. He was the last speaker there, speaking about, I guess, now being free of all charges from that incident that took place last August. Well, if anyone has anything to say on this topic, just because this is a big topic in Toronto, you could give us a call. If you want to, at 416-595-1655, 416-595-1655, to get on the air here at CKLN 88.1 FM, broadcasting in Toronto from the campus of Ryerson University. You know, and that situation, I was wondering what was going to happen there, because, you know, you're talking about justice in Ontario. Well, Michael Bryant was a former Liberal MPP, and the Liberals are still in power here in Ontario with a majority. And also Michael Bryant was the former Attorney General of Ontario, which would be the head of the whole justice system in the province. So that's the situation with that, you know. And you see it in you're seeing it a lot more on the media now, because that, you know, that's a big headline. But what we're also seeing is a lot of words on the G20, because the budgeting information has come out, you know, and we're talking about up to almost $1 billion going to be spent for this summit that's coming up. And, well, you know, at least there is some movements in Toronto to raise awareness of the upcoming G20. And one of the groups that's looking to do some actions during the G20 is called the Toronto Community Mobilization Network. So it's actually a network of different groups that are together for the last weekend of or last few weeks of June. There's going to be events going on all around. Now, they've also recently announced some major closures. I think one of the campuses that's closing is the U of T campus that they've announced for the whole G20, leading up to the G20. So some events that, I guess, had been planned for the U of T campus, I think there was a Council of Canadians event, has been, well, they're going to have to find a new location. Not sure if Ryerson's announced yet, if they're closing down, but if they are open, then I think that's going to be one of the locations for the People's Summit. The People's Summit is one of the things that's coming up. Actually, what I got is a clip here. Maybe I'll just get into this one now. It's actually a bit of the press conference of the G20 Community Mobilization Network, held a press conference last Thursday at Steelworkers Hall. And at the press conference, there was about 9 speakers. There was the MC, and then there was a spokesperson for the Toronto Community Mobilization Network. Also, and you're going to hear them in this clip, are a few clips of Adonis El-Jamal, who is the MC. Then Andrew Mazzenti was speaking on disability rights, and Ro Velasquez was speaking on queer justice. And speaking on income equity and poverty was John Clark, And then speaking about gender justice was Anna Willits. Speaking about migrant justice was Farah Miranda. Labor rights, Ilhan Burbano. And the anti-war and occupation, Khalid Muammar of the Canadian Arab Federation, who you're going to hear later on as well in an interview. And I also got an interview with Anna Willits as well that we're going to play. Anna Willits of the Gender Justice and All Organizing Group. But we're going to play those after we get to these clips. Also rounding out the speakers was Miriam Adrangi for the People for Climate Justice. And speaking on Indigenous sovereignty was Andrea Chris John. So you're going to hear a few of the presentations, what all those speakers gave minutes each, and then I cut up some of the highlights of that, and then I also cut in some of the question and answers. So at this press conference, which was at Steelworkers Hall, was basically every major media organization there. So it was a huge row of all the TV cameras, all the TV news, CTV, City TV, Omni, Rogers, you name it, they were all there getting coverage of this. And you know, an interesting thing is that a lot of the questions, well, you'll see, and I'll talk a bit more after. So look out for this clip, and then it goes into a question and answer, and you're going to hear it right now. G20 Toronto Community Mobilization Press Conference.
Community organizations, NGOs, artists, labor unions, and concerned individuals from Toronto and the surrounding area that are joining together to oppose these undemocratic meetings of the G8 and G20.
We're fighting the G8 and G20 this year as part of our campaign because it represents the richest people in the world and their governments, including Canada's.
Queer people, trans folk, people of color, Indigenous and differently abled people are exploited on a daily basis by the same dominant forces that exploit people's labors, the land, and the environment.
We are being told by homeless people that the cops are telling them that the G20 is coming and that we'll be watching.
The G20 summit in Toronto will create checkpoints in the city. It will create borders that divide our city, and it will show the true face of global apartheid.
Next month, what is going to happen is that a collection of some of the most violent and dangerous people on the face of the planet are going to come to Toronto, where they're going to be provided with an armed camp out of which they can hold deliberations on how they can further their agenda of precisely making income more inequitable throughout the planet on an enormous scale.
The federal government is trying to solve these issues by promoting market-based solutions, but it's these markets that cause the problems in the first place.
If we look at what is happening to Greece and to poor people in Greece, we can see that the conditions for solving the crisis are going to be imposed on poor and working people.
Women and trans people around the world want peace and an end to male violence of all kinds. The interests of big business and banks are protected at the expense of social and economic supports worldwide.
So when the G20 does come in, I think it's really important for the public to know that we will be joining forces, and we'll be joining forces in terms of the awareness.
And we also have within Canada now a government that is attempting to muzzle the freedom of expression of Canadians on many issues.
In Canada, at least 580 Indigenous women have been reported missing and or have been murdered over the last 30 years with absolutely no effective outcry or response from provincial and national leaders.
Canada must stop forced psychiatric treatment and forced institutionalization and imprisonment and incarceration of disabled people and people affected by ableism.
Our message to you, the media, and to the Canadian public is that you give space to these concerns and these questions, that you not only approach the G8 and G20 summit from a quote-unquote security perspective, but that you probe some of the questions and concerns that we're bringing up in this forum, and also to ask, why is there a militarized zone and checkpoints in Toronto coming in June during the G8, G20 summit?
Because we collectively have to ensure that we make these governments who are in place accountable.
Now I'd like to invite Leslie Wood, spokesperson for the Toronto Community Mobilization Network, who will answer any questions.
John, you were saying earlier that the police are moving homeless people off the streets.
The concrete evidence that I was advancing was, at this point, as they say, anecdotal. Also, we've received reports in the territory of the 51 Division of officers going to stores with trespass letters that they want signed by the store owners. Trespass letter basically will authorize the police to selectively remove people.
Is there any kind of communication taking place between any of these organizations in terms of trying to avoid any violence in any way?
We're working together in order to create an opportunity for people who want a more peaceful world, more just world, and a more sustainable world. We're not going to be talking about tactics today.
What do you think of what happened in Ottawa 2 days ago?
We're not going to be talking about tactics. What our goal is here for this press conference is to talk about the issues, how they're connected, and why people are resisting the G20 and the G8.
Do you anticipate violence?
I have no idea what's going to happen there, but what we're here is to talk about the issues. I think the network wants to show that the G20 and the G8 are illegitimate bodies that are incompetent at managing the global economy. They're not democratic, and really what we want is a world where there's real justice.
What is your message to the many in Toronto, particularly those that live and work downtown, that are worried and scared about violence breaking out during this event? I mean, what do you say to those people?
We say, we didn't want this to come to this city. This was not an invitation from the people of Toronto to the G20.
You're not going to say, don't worry, we're going to do our best to stop any violence that may break out.
We're not going to be talking about tactics.
People in Toronto, residents are concerned about violence. They should talk to the police who murdered two people in the past month.
That's right.
And they should talk, and they should talk with each other and think about the kind of violence that's happening around them.
What about the fire at the bank in Ottawa?
A bomb in a bank will be fixed. The damage will be fixed in about a month. The damage to women's lives that happens in this city, in this province, in this country, and around the world every day will be with us for generations.
John, I just get the sense everybody's dancing around this issue. You don't want to talk about tactics. You've been on the front lines. You know what happens. Let's not be naive here.
If you are going to impose this poverty and misery on people throughout this planet, don't think that you're going to be able to ask them to confine themselves to sedate, nice, polite methods of struggle. People, by God, are going to resist, and they have a damn right to.
A lot of control over what the message out of this summit is in your hands, the media's hands. And if you remain obsessed with protesters' violence, then indeed that will be the message that comes out of this summit.
What happens after the G20 meetings? Do you continue as an organization? Because obviously these issues aren't going to be solved by the end of June.
We have no plans to be an ongoing formal network, but definitely the ties that we're building between issues, between people in the city, are going to be
different. I can't comment on the tactics that people will use. Certainly when we think about violence, I hope that the police are not violent. Historically, we know that they've had sonar cannons, they've had tear gas, they've had pepper spray, they've had rows upon rows of riot police that have been very violent to peaceful protesters, and I certainly hope that we don't see that kind of violence.
Hoping for peace. Stop the violence. Word up, word of mouth Wednesday. We're back here on the show, and that just was a segment there. You heard a bit of the press conference of the G20 Community Mobilization Network here in Toronto, groups of activists that are getting together for mobilizing during the G20 and before the G20, raising awareness about the agenda of the G20. And, you know, and so, and that, I guess that's the purpose of that, that press conference, was to raise some awareness. But the media that was there, and there was a lot of media there, were very interested in getting the Toronto Community Mobilization's response to a recent explosion at a bomb that went off at a bank in Ottawa. And then there was an anarchist group within like a few hours or something that the night that it happened claimed responsibility. And it's a group that nobody has heard of, or the media hasn't heard of. And I guess they're still, well, I guess the media is a bit quiet now about where the investigation's at. But as far as I know, they still haven't apprehended anybody or charged anybody with that. With a serious attack in a neighborhood in Ottawa, and you know, it wasn't on like a office for the bank. It was actually just like a branch in a neighborhood, which, so you know, so it's a strange way of protesting. And you know, since that happened, that the security has increased. And yesterday or today, this morning's paper, I guess, has all kinds of numbers coming out about how much the security they're going to be spending on security. The conservatives have, you know, they've opened up the pocketbook for security. Now, we're going to have the leaders of the 20 biggest economies here, as well as central banks from around the world. The central bankers will be here, and they all bring entourages, I guess. So there's going to be lots of delegates, and they're going to be closing down substantial parts of downtown. And, you know, you're going to hear some more about what to expect when we play the interviews coming up with Anna Willits and Khalid Momar. But first, I think we'll just go to a music track, and let me just give you the website, g20.torontomobilize.org, for your info on the People's Convergence in June, the Toronto Community Mobilization Network. But we'll be back with some more interviews on the topics of the G20 coming up. But first, I think we'll just play a track, because it's sounding like the boat's coming into harbor. You know, time to passport. Well, this is a track by Toronto artists, 95.6. It's a track called Toronto First. Word of mouth, CKLM 88.1. Word is bomb.
Marvelous, just a bit.
Yeah, 1, 2. Hello. Hi, hello. How you do? This is me, why that you? This is real, that is fake. No, not you. I mean what you say. I am real, where to be ya? Why you wear it in ya, ya, ya? Me in crowds while you behind desks. Yes, yes, come out, best protect your neck. Me image twisted, humans carefully crafted to decades of fiction. You scared of me, so you point finger. I raise my hand to the sky, fist of solidarity at the rocks and tanks. Against all odds, I fight back. Shoot my body, just free my soul. Make me hot, stop, but my blood still flows. Throw out me body and into the dirt. Me live on through earth. Them kill while the world watches. History be written into your conscience. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Don't turn off your radio, just change the station. Hi, hello, how you do? This is me, why that you? This is real, that is fake. No, not you, I mean what you say. Hi, hello, how you do? This is me, why that you? This is real, that is fake. No, not you, I mean what you say. I am real, where Kofia? Why you wearing a blah, 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 blah? We in crowds while you behind desk. Scared to come out, best protect your neck. That's me, restricted, me image twisted. You image carefully crafted, that keeps a fiction. You scared of me, so you point finger. I raise my hands to the sky. Twist up solidarity. I got the rocks at 10, sell against all odds, so I fight back. Shoot my body, just free my soul. Make me hopped up, but my blood still flows. Blow out me body and into the dirt. Me live on through earth. Them kill while the world watches. History be written into your conscience. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Wake up and face it, they won't play this. Don't turn off your radio, just change the station. Hi, hello, how you do? This is me, while that you? This is real, that is fake. No, not you, I mean what you say. Hi, hello, how you do? This is me, while that you? This is real, that is fake. No, not you, I mean what you say.
That was just a track there by 95.6, produced by Marvelous. This is a track called Toronto First, dedicated to Toronto. Toronto, word up. Big things going on in June. The people are converging, Toronto will be mobilizing, and the leaders will be here in town of in Toronto. The G8 will be in Huntsville, Ontario, and then the G20 will be right here, downtown Toronto, near, I guess, the Metro Convention Center, but then they got spots all around downtown involved. And the G20, actually, just in case you don't know who the G20 is, I can read it out. We're talking about the finance ministers and central bank governors and the leaders of 19 countries: Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, France, Germany, India, Indonesia, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Russia, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Republic of Korea, Turkey, United Kingdom, United States of America, and the 20th member is the European Union. So the council presidency of the European Union and the head of the European Central Bank will be here. So those are the 20 countries. And then there was also five other countries that were announced that I guess every year they do a rotation. They invite five countries. I think one of them was Spain. But I don't actually have that list. I'll get that. If I can't find it for this show, I'll find it for next week. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff to go over with the G20 because there's so much involved. But then there's also so many questions to be asked, as much of their deliberations are in camera or in private or off the record. But, you know, that's why it was interesting to go to the Toronto Community Mobilization Network press conference, because this was an open press conference that they had. So the speakers there are willing to be on the record talking about why they would be protesting, on what they're thinking, what they're expecting for the G20. So I was thinking maybe we'll just go into our first interview here, just a short interview that I got to speak with Anna Willits after after the press conference was over. I still stuck around Steelworkers Hall a bit, tried to get a few words, and I got some words with Anna Willits, who was speaking on gender justice, who's part of the Gender Justice for All organizing group. And she is an activist working locally, particularly against violence against women, since 1982, and she's also worked as a counselor, advocate, public educator for 17 years at the Toronto Rape Crisis Multicultural Women's Against Rape, and then she's been a professor in the Assaulted Women's Children's Council at George Brown, or Children's Counselor and Advocate Program at George Brown College, and then she's also she coordinates a program for women who want to enter skilled trades, and she's a member of the Toronto Police Accountability Coalition and the Gender Justice for All organizing group. Here is that interview with Toronto Community Mobilization Network member Anna Willits. This is Daniel Libby here reporting for the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and we're at the G20 Community Mobilization Press Conference. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Sure, my name's Anna Willits, and I'm working with a group called Gender Justice for All, and we're organizing some feminist creative resistance during the upcoming G20 meetings.
Great, yeah, and we got a lot of good information today from the presentations, but then I noticed in the question and answer, it seems like most of the media seems to only want to focus on this thing that happened in Ottawa and the, tactics. Did this surprise you at all, that these were the questions?
No. We definitely expected that media would focus on the on an incident like that. And we actually have expected that something would happen that would hijack the messaging and make it all about the protesters and violence and that kind of thing. So weren't surprised at all.
I guess, what was the goal of this press conference? What was the message here?
The organizers with the Toronto Community Mobilization Network wanted to inform the people of Toronto and the province and Canada about the kinds of organizing and issues that need to be brought to the table during the G8 G20 summit. We need to see a lot more focus on community concerns. We need to see a lot more focus on the issues that matter to marginalized peoples. We're not confident that those issues will get on the table during these meetings if the leaders of the G20 are left to themselves. And so the idea was to say these are what the issues are that concern people here and around the world, and they need to be highlighted and they need to be featured.
What are some of the organizations involved with the community mobilization?
Now, that's a really good question. I'm not one of the organizers, so I can't speak definitively, but there are definitely people involved with groups like No One Is Illegal. There are people with organizations. Myself, I'm an anti-violence worker, and there are a number of women and trans people involved in community agencies that are involved, homeless people, groups like OCAP that work on their behalf. There are many, many labor organizations involved in this, many immigrant-serving groups. So that's it's a very wide-ranging coalition, as I understand it.
Right. And what did you think about the G20, the priority of Harper about with women and children?
I would say that most of the members of our group would say that Stephen Harper's a hypocrite. We see his messaging around maternal and child health as nothing more than PR, that the actions, the policies, the legislation, the foreign aid that would back up what comes out of his mouth is not there, and in fact, the opposite is happening, and that makes him a hypocrite. So rather than supporting maternal and child health, we see the actions, not just of the Harper government, but of many, many governments, actually actively undermining maternal and child health, and we want to expose that lie.
And I think one of the most controversial announcements, or the shocking announcements, was that there's been some mentioning that that there had been police or agents that had been coming into the community mobilization meetings. Had you heard of this at all?
No, I hadn't heard about that. But again, I would not be surprised by that. I've been involved in organizing efforts for a very long time, and one of the first demos I remember was in response to the bathhouse raids back in 1981. And at that demo, right at the front, were police agents holding onto a banner, ready to cause trouble. Happened again in 2001 during the OCAP rally at Queen's Park. It's happened over and over again. So yes, I think that it's expected whenever you do a public call out that it's quite likely that members of the integrated security unit might be there, or members of the police.
Yeah, word's getting out in the media. The people are hearing about this because it's a big thing coming up in June with this G20 meeting. Do you have any recommendations for where people can go to research more info? Or
I would suggest a couple of the websites. If you Google People Summit 2010, if you Google Toronto Community Mobilization Network, you will definitely get to the right place.
All right, thanks a lot. Word up. So that website, just in case you want the exact website, is g20.torontomobilize.org for info on the Toronto Community Mobilization Network. And that took place last Thursday. Was the press conference at Steelworkers Hall, and then I recorded a few interviews after the press conference, and then this next interview I'm going to play is with the presenter on the anti-war and occupation issue, and that was Khalid Lutfi Momar, who's the national president of the Canadian Arab Federation. Khalid has over 30 years of experience with organizations including the Arab Palestine Association, Arab Community Center of Toronto, Urban Alliance on Race Relations, Canadian Ethnocultural Council, and the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid. Khalid has served as a board member for the Immigration and Refugee Board from 1994 to 2005, where he was adjudicating refugee claims, and he currently serves as the national president of the Canadian Arab Federation, and he works as a consultant with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. So here is the interview with Khalid Momar. All right, we're here at the G20 press conference, and I got a guest here. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Yes, I'm Khalid Momar, president of the Canadian Arab Federation.
And how do you think today the press conference went?
Well, I think we had excellent presentations made by the panelists. However, I'm not sure if some people from the media were able to really grasp the message that was being presented. They were focusing too much about what kind of problems might arise, instead of saying what are the problems being caused by the G20 in the world, you know, wars, destruction, cutting social services, healthcare, education, the rise of poverty. So I hope at the end that some of them would be able to project these messages through their articles.
Right, and so I guess overall, what do you think that the message was here today?
The message was basically that this is a meeting which was not welcome in Toronto by people who are trying to devise policies and programs which will result in more death and destruction and misery around the world and in Canada, as they have been doing for the last since the Second World War. You know, there's been 150 wars created by greedy corporations to be able to abuse and steal the resources of countries around the world in Asia, Africa, and Latin America, and that this should stop. This is not acceptable. Most Canadians are would certainly oppose this if they became aware of the purpose of this conference that's taking place in June by the G20.
For real, and we got the G20 coming into Toronto, and I've heard that there's going to be some like extreme security precautions. Parts of downtown will be closed down. Are you at all concerned about the security?
Well, my concern is that we are becoming more and more sort of a militarized police country. We are spending $6 billion on security agencies in Canada. We are increasing the number of policemen, increasing the number of jails, while at the same time, there's a rise in poverty and a decrease in services to the population. So this is what really concerns me. We are here spending money now to protect these people who are planning how to cause more destruction and death, and this is unacceptable. It's a shame that we have reached a situation like that in Canada.
Just wanted to ask you about the organization you're working for, Canadian Arab Federation. Is there any announcements or things that you'd like the radio listeners to hear about?
Basically, we are fighting now a government that's cutting funds to all NGOs which don't agree with their policies, either domestically and internationally. And we have seen that with the cuts they made to the Canadian Arab Federation, to Kairos, which is a ecumenical service, to the way they undermined rights and democracy, the cuts of funding to the Pride Parade, the cuts of funding to 14 women groups. This is what we are focusing on now. There's an attempt to undermine the freedom of expression and speech of Canadians, and an attempt to undermine our, the rights that all Canadians have under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And we have to stand up together, because this is not targeting one group, it's targeting anybody who expresses an opinion the government is not happy with. They have tried to cut funding to a York University conference dealing with the Middle East issue. They have tried to silence students on campuses from participating in Israeli Apartheid Week. So this is a dangerous trend, and it should be stopped by a united action by everybody.
Do you have any recommendations for people if they're looking for more information?
The main thing is that this is an opportunity for every Canadian to come forward and stand together to demonstrate and express our disapproval and our opposition to what the G20 stands for, what kind of the policies which we know that they will implement in the future. And this is not only for the sake of Canadians, it's for the sake for all human beings around the world. And in the end, we need to make sure that we remain a country that stands for peace and justice, and not one that that perpetuates wars, inequalities, and oppression around the world.
Thanks a lot.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. That was just Khaled Momar from the Canadian Arab Federation speaking with us at the G20 Community Mobilization Press Conference, g20.torontomobilize.org, one of the websites you can check. Also, look out for the People's Summit. We'll have more info on that in future episodes, I think. And then also, you can check out Press for Truth. They're doing some good alternative reporting on the G20 coming up here in Toronto, and then also the Media Co-op, toronto.mediacoop.ca. You can check out some stuff. I even posted a few audio clips and a few videos on there, so you can check out Toronto Media Co-op, and then there's other people in Toronto that are contributing to that site. And, it's just because that's such a big issue, and because we're talking about $1 billion now going to be spent on security. We're talking about the closure of a lot of downtown. We're talking about traffic. We're talking about checkpoints, and we're talking about, they're going to close down U of T campus, close down the CN Tower, close down a lot of the stuff around downtown Toronto that's coming up for the G20. Well, just in case anyone has anything to say on that topic, give us a call at 416-595-1655 here at CKLN 88.1 FM. And, you know, we're broadcasting here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and, you know, we still got an interview clip left that we're going to play. But first, maybe we'll just play a quick track here. This one is from Down Under. It's by Matt and Must, and it's called Un, Deux, Trois.
I'm chasing down cash, waiting on a double payment. Couple aces, better off to try your luck at Vegas. I get a love and blaze and sitting on the same pavement. Every show I head straight to the bar and raise it. I'm a plated stab like percussion on the playlist. Style off the gauges, slam worthy breaks it. Get my hands dirty, making every publication. Bloodthirsty vagrants, lace up the papers with a rude attitude. Set to bruise any fakers. So confusing with hatred, this is tough love. I fight fire with a storm and a low front. The bare essence, extreme measures, wake the heavens. The first session's in a long line of epics. Delivered in a second with a lifetime's message. My position is cemented till your mind's eyes heavy. This is quite hefty. While your rhyme style's empty, I beat a mic's envy, spit a sky high medley. You can't dissect the way I'm using my chemistry. Check the timeline, here, the future's ahead of me.
1, 2, 3 wouldn't try and make cash, trying to be like me. 1, 2, 3 4, 5, 6 now, no little kids wanna beat like this.
1, 2, 3 1, 2, 3
wouldn't try and make cash, trying to be like me.
1, 2, 3 4, 5, 6
now, no little kids wanna beat like this.
Yo, we got that low-down style for any function, with the know-how to put the power into numbers. Never slow now, I'm facing any interruption, with a brave face running off of pure gumption. Fourth dimension, footstep when I race the session. Every sentence leave a mark beyond comprehension. Never ending, motor mouth about to start its engine. Mind bending with the plans to a new invention. Pen pad about to work out the new equation. Laid back, putting thought into every statement. Blaze tracks, better call on the fire station. I'll stand back, just to absorbing the situation. Back on my piece,
line 1, 2, 3. Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. Sorry, we just had to cut out of that track a bit short because we're running a bit out of time here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Going till 8 p.m., we still got a feature interview left to play. This interview was recorded Saturday on the major Free Mark Emery worldwide rally that took place all around the world. And in Toronto, it was outside of the U.S. consulate. And we've got one of the organizers from the Toronto Hash Mob right here. You're going to hear an interview with Chris Goodwin. Here is that interview with Christopher Goodwin.
And prohibition!
No extradition!
Word of Mouth Wednesday, we're here at the Free Mark Emery Rally, and we got a guest here, one of the organizers. Do you mind introducing yourself?
My name is Chris Goodwin. I'm one of the members of the Toronto Hash Mob, and we're here at the U.S. Consulate protesting the U.S. extradition of Mark Emery. A few days ago, he was sent to a U.S. jail in Seattle, and on Monday, he's going to be sentenced to 5 years in a U.S. Gulag federal penitentiary for a crime, a non-violent crime, a peaceful crime, that would have gotten a $200 fine in Canada. So we're here openly smoking marijuana. We've taken over the middle island in front of the U.S. consulate, which they don't allow to happen. There's actually a ban on protesting within 100 feet of the U.S. consulate, and this grass is within 100 feet of that. So, yeah, we've basically been successful so far. There's over a few hundred people here. We're all making our voices heard.
And I'm glad the some info is getting out on the Mark Emery situation. And I know that the Hash Mob has been doing some actions. What's been going on at the MP's office?
Well, recently a new form of activism has started by the people in Vancouver at Cannabis Culture Headquarters. These are political occupations. We are staging sit-ins and smoke-ins and vape-ins and rolling joints in Conservative Member of Parliament's offices all throughout Canada. In Ontario, we've done 6 of these occupations already. I encourage you to look them up. Obviously, because of very strategic aspects, we can't release it publicly months ahead of time or even a day ahead of time. They will inevitably lock the doors. But if your Conservative Member of Parliament in your riding or somewhere near you has a door open, I encourage you to go in, occupy that office, roll joints if there's a medical marijuana user there, vaporize with a portable vaporizer like an eye inhaler or a vapor genie, and maybe if you're ballsy enough, you might want to even smoke a joint, because in Ontario, we have a tobacco bylaw, the Ontario Smoke Free Act, that's specific to nicotine, but marijuana like incense and other herbs can be burned indoors in Ontario. So I encourage you, if you feel up to it, to peacefully, respectfully, and cooperatively, but civil disobediently, smoke a joint, possess marijuana, vaporize, but mainly occupy and sit in a member of Parliament's office in Canada, a Conservative member.
For the listeners who don't know about what's been going on with Mark Emery, what's the situation?
Well, after 5 years out on bail, we basically kept him in Canada for 5 years. He basically was taken for transport. The U.S. extradition order was signed by Justice Minister Rob Nicholson. Now it's up to our public safety minister, Vic Taves. If he wants to bring a Canadian back to this country, he can do it with a stroke of his pen. So we got to encourage Conservative Member of Parliament Vic Taves, he's the public safety minister, write him a letter, call his office, stage a political occupation in his office, and make sure he is told by no uncertain terms that we demand Mark Emery comes back to Canada.
What's the situation with Mark Emery right now? Like, do you know what his status is? Is he still in Canada or is he in America?
Mark Emery is right now, as of like 48 hours ago, in a Seattle, Washington jail. It's called SeaTac. It's basically a holding facility for, I think, international crime, extraditions, frauds, whatever, import, export. But he doesn't have the right, basically, to see anybody. A few Seattle activists wanted to go see him, but the restrictions are so great in SeaTac that only your mother, father, sister, brother, wife can go see you. And they're going to prevent Jody from being able to see Mark, too. So it's very difficult to cross into a foreign country to see your husband in a foreign jail. So we encourage everybody to write Mark Emery letters. Look on cannabisculture.com, noextradition.net, markemery.ca. Find out how you can help. Mark Emery has a list of over 100 ways you can help his cause. You don't always have to do an occupation. You don't always have to call. But there's 99 other things you can do. So I'm encouraging everyone to do something, because this is a noble cause. We are a peaceful group of people, and we're not going to take it anymore.
What I wanted to ask you, though, is with all this going on, and I know that there's videos that are going viral on cannabisculture.com, and what happened at your recent actions at MP Peter Kent's office? What actually happened when you went?
Well, this is also Erin Gorman, too, another Toronto Hash Mob activist, but she lives up in Thornhill. We did do Peter Kent's office first. That was about 10 days ago. It was very successful. We sat in the office. Calla was there. He's one of the ones that videotaped it from Dope Chef.
DopeChef.com, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. Check that out, because those videos are going viral. We're talking thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people are watching these videos. And yeah, basically what happens is we can peacefully and legally occupy a member of Parliament's office. We do so with the intention of shock and awe. We're rolling joints, we're yelling out Free Mark Emery, we're disturbing the peace in a way. So in some cases they could charge us with mischief for that, but if as long as you keep it peaceful and cooperative, you end up getting to a point of negotiation. They demand to start having meetings with us. Within the past 5 years, we've never been able to get them on the phone. We've never been able to set up a half-hour meeting with the member of Parliament, Peter Kent. And so far, the meetings we've had with their executive staff, as well as the members of Parliament that we've seen, have all been encouraging. We've told them that we will come back and occupy for days if we have to, if they do not follow our demands, issue press releases, issue statements, things that we have common ground. Obviously, they might disagree with us on a lot of things, but if they make a commitment to Canadian sovereignty, to individual rights, to some issue we agree with, that we have common ground, that we're making inroads. So please look for those type of avenues and find them wherever you can, and we're making a difference. We're going to change this war on drugs. We're going to end prohibition.
Definitely, and it's good to see this activism going on. But I was just wondering, why you've taken the step of going to, like, actually not only protesting at these government offices, but actually joining the Conservative Party.
Well, I've been a member of the Conservative Party for about 3 years now, actually. So the whole goal with me has been infiltration. So obviously it's been public. I go to every meeting I can. I go to all the pub nights. I go to the executive meeting. It's the same stuff I did between 18 and, I'm 30 now, but between about 17 and 27, 18 and 28, I was with the NDP. And I actually think I was very successful working with Hamilton NDP representatives like Chris Charlton, David Christofferson, a whole bunch of other, Wayne Marsden, Matt Murnaud. There's now End Prohibition with Dana Larson and Kirk Tusaw and all the other Vancouver activists. The NDP has really came around. But eventually, after, you know, 8 to 10 years in that, Jack Layton is a good fan of ours and does a lot of stuff for us. But he basically said, if you want to make a bigger difference, we agree with you. You're preaching to the choir now. If we were in power, if I was the prime minister, marijuana would be legal. So you got to go convince them. So now, although it's boring and it sucks and all these conservative meetings can be 8 hours of drivel, you got to do it. You got to put in the time, put on the suit and tie. But my goal has been infiltrating them.
How do they act, though, when you bring up like issues like cannabis?
Well, you'd be surprised. I normally argue that, you know, the numbers that are representative of, you know, 10% of our culture or, the, you know, the population uses pot and whatever, it's no different with police officers. It's no different with nurses. It's no different with teachers. It's no different with conservatives. They smoke just as much pot as liberals. They do just as much coke as, you know, socialists. They do all at the same rate, realistically. So they just, you got to find the issues that appeal to them. Conservatives like Ron Paul in the United States and other libertarians have that, you know, individual sovereignty type mentality. They believe in individual rights. They believe in the freedom to be able to put in your body whatever you want. So I am a lot more libertarian. It always used to bother me being a member of the NDP that I don't actually agree with the socialistic viewpoint that the party recommends outside of their drug policy reform. So although they wanted to change our laws on marijuana, I don't believe in any one of their other causes. But that's all politics. Even if I was an NDP, you know, down to the core, I would still probably join the Conservatives and spend years just trying to influence how they believe in individual rights and sovereignty and other issues.
Right, and so we got this big protest here today. I guess I just wanted to, because you just brought up Ron Paul, so I was just wondering about, like, would you classify this almost as like a herbal tea party?
Yeah, I think we are starting the herbal tea party in Canada, and I don't know if a lot of people are aware, but there's the Freedom Party of Canada that was started by Mark Emery back in, you know, 81 to 85 era as the UN party, and he took it over, and I think it's going to get revamped again. I think there's going to be money bombs and a blimp and all that kind of fun Ron Paul revolution type stuff here in Canada, but in a marijuana type sense. The Freedom Party is really embracing the marijuana culture like no other. Even like Jack Layton, when he came to Mark Emery's house, that was one of the biggest things that happened in Canadian politics, I think. And I think this is going to be bigger. I think the Freedom Party of Canada might just offer an alternative on the right. It might split the right just enough that we could have a huge impact on Canadian politics. And that's my viewpoint. If you guys agree with me, I encourage you to come support us. Look up Freedom Party of Canada on Google, and we're going to be handing out application forms. We're going to be running candidates throughout Canada, and we're going to try and do things a lot differently. But this isn't our only tactic. We're still doing civil disobedience, direct action, occupation. And I hope the Canadian public understand and sympathize with our cause and realize how powerful our message is.
Exactly. Word up. We're looking out for freedom. And Chris Goodwin.
Hashmob.ca if you want to look out for our group.
Thanks a lot, man.
Free Mark Emery! 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 Free Mark Emery!
Free Mark Emery! Free Mark Emery is the movement, and Word of Mouth Wednesday, we are almost out of time here on the show. Just wanted to make sure I just read out a few Free Mark Emery sites. You can check out cannabisculture.com, check out hashmob.ca, check out dopechef.com for more info on the Free Mark Emery movement currently going on worldwide as well. There's also a few websites you might want to check out. I don't have time to read out all the events for this week, but you can check out G20.com. TorontoMobilize.org for info on the G20. Also, check out GazaFreedomMarch.org for an event, urgent appeal going on tomorrow, GazaFreedomMarch.org. You can also check out TorontoTruthSeekers.com for the Young Dundas Saturday Street Actions. And then also, you can check out MarxismConference.ca for a big conference coming to Ryerson this weekend. Also, coming up are more events. You can check out Rabble.ca. Check out CKLN.fm for info on CKLN. And then also, you can stay tuned for our next show here on 88.1 FM, Word of Mouth. Wednesday, this has been the show for this week. My name's Daniel Libby, and stay tuned for The Blue Remedy with The Blues, Dr. Julie Hill. Word up, word is bond, word...